The Rove and Sam Catch-Up.
Hello, podcasters. Your favourite show is about to begin, but what if you could listen to it without having to worry about using data? Your exclusive podcast offer is here. Now that you've pressed play on us, head to ilovedata.com.au and get 50 gigs of data every month for $59.95. No contracts, no catches. ilovedata.com.au. Go on, open up your browser. And now, catch up with the guys.
Chitty, chitty, chat, 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 chat.
I have to go home, pick up my dog, go to the hair salon. I'm on a tight sketch,
did
guys.
Did you take Rocky to the hair salon?
Yeah, doggies are allowed.
Are they?
Well, this one it is, because my hairdresser effing loves dogs.
So, nothing to do with it being a dog/human hair salon.
No.
It's just because it's you.
No, everyone brings their dogs. There's always dogs there. It's like a doggy parlour.
But what? Who does this thing? You know what we still haven't done?
What's that?
Since day zero, probably day minus seven.
What are you about to talk about?
Cat cafe, mate.
I know! And then I went to go to cat cafe for my weekend and they said, no, don't go. Save it for the show. So I haven't been.
Okay, here's what happens, right? Because cheer chatters, I know you like to hear what goes on. So here's the thing. When we first started...
A little peek behind the curtains.
Sure.
A little thing that...
Jamie the button pushy presses the buttons.
Hello. That's all he does. That's all he does.
That's all I do.
That's all you do.
Oh, yeah, you talk a bit unnecessarily, but that's about it.
When you threw me under the bus, I have to turn on my mic and defend myself.
Little shout out. Hi. Jamie, despite the fact we think he's on steroids.
Oh, I'm not on steroids.
HGH. HGH.
No drugs.
You're getting very aggressive for no goddamn reason.
Hasn't he lost the puffiness around his face?
Yep, and your balls have shrunk.
It's just called diet and exercise,
okay,
guys.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll get back to Jamie's puffiness and the other story that we have. There's a gentleman outside that we're about to talk to.
Yes.
He's an IVF doctor. You'll hear him on the show sometime soon.
Probably next week.
Yep. For our questions with segment, I'm sure we'll have a little bit of a recap of it because that's what we do.
I'm regretting not weeing now, but that's okay. I'll hold it till after.
You could take a sample.
Fun.
So we're going to pause now?
Yeah, you won't notice it. It'll be like we just dumped. So, you know, a lot of stuff's going to happen.
Or...
We won't acknowledge it, and then it'll be seamless when we come back.
All right.
Or you can just do the little radio, and then get back on.
Or how about you just say, we're back. Sam is drinking almost a full bottle of water. Getting close. You're drinking like a small child. She's going to do the whole thing. She's necking it.
That's what
she's
said.
She's done.
That's what she said.
Here we go. She's coughing a whole mouthful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't make sure you swallow it. Oh, and how's the drink?
We're back.
If you were in our household, midway through that, there would have been fingers pointing, chug, chug, chug.
That's fun.
And then afterwards, big drink. That's what we do.
I felt really dehydrated, guys.
Wow. You were going to...
I'll piss a storm.
You're going to piss. Would you drink your own piss?
No. You were asking someone the other day, and I feel like it was a guest about drinking piss.
It was me.
Guy Sebastian?
Hammo, and I think Luke McGregor.
Luke McGregor.
We're talking about drinking piss.
And then you were talking about how it keeps going through and it keeps getting dilated and diluted. Sorry.
Yeah. But apparently the first time it goes through, it absorbs all the nutrients and flushes them out.
Mm.
And minerals, I should say. Basically, it's your body saying, here's the excess minerals that I don't need. I'll put them in here and you can get rid of them.
Because I eat so healthy or something.
Yeah. So the more you drink, the more it just goes, oh, well, I've got, basically you could drink it and there's stuff in there.
Yeah, cool.
Speaking of eating healthy.
Oh, I thought it was a good segue.
No, we hadn't finished.
You're the button pusher. You are the button pusher. Continue to do your job.
We
will do the segue. Thank you very much, Jamie.
Now I don't think I want to tell people how you're not as fat as you used to be.
Well,
let's do that.
Remember how you used to have a little chubby baby face?
Yeah.
Now it's not. You've got a neck now.
Nice.
You've got definition in your arms. Your pecs actually look like pecs and not just sort of puffy man boobs. It's looking good, mate.
Thank you.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
Puffy man boobs.
You know how sometimes you see blokes with like big, their shirts and singlets and they feel like they're filling it out. Like Tom Cruise takes his shirt off and you're like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they're pecs or just old man boobs. Like just because there's... Yeah. Just because you're not flat-chested doesn't make it pecs.
Have you seen the new Jack Reacher movie yet?
No, I don't know that I will.
He takes off his shirt and, have a look.
Is it a bit confronting?
Yeah, it's
normally
a bit like, maybe you're at the stage where you should leave your shirt on.
Yeah, Jamie. Or you go, how can you have abs and love handles? How is that possible?
Yes, Jamie, yeah. Are you taking steroids?
No, I'm not taking steroids.
Are you getting very aggressive and defensive towards me, and I don't like it.
No, because it reminds me of back in the day when I first started gym and then like getting a little bit bigger. Mum's like, are you taking steroids? And then my best friend doesn't help going, yeah, he is. It's like, no, come on, guys. No,
What were you?
Show us your balls. How shrunken are your balls?
Can you still ejaculate when you're taking steroids?
That's because I was born with that. But
that's true.
It's fine.
Gross.
What? Are testicles the most ugly thing God in her wisdom has ever created?
Do you know what they remind me of? You know those like Chinese...
What did you do with your hand?
Chinese...
The worry ball?
Worry balls. And you squiggle them around like this. They remind me of those. I got some. My dad was...
Is that why you're so stress-free?
That's why I'm so chilled, champies.
You got to know how to handle them. You got to be real gentle.
Yeah.
Real gentle, ladies.
Sometimes you get carried away.
And gents, but you would know. Guys would know.
Yeah. Bless you, Rove.
Okay, so then the other thing was, when Sam and I were doing practice shows, this maybe, I think, was even one of those sort of...
Were you about to say?
Like it was an audition-y thing.
One
of the things you brought, because back in the day they'd say, right, guys, just to work out whether you've got chemistry and whether you can make this work, bring three things. One thing is a
personal story. One's a topical.
And one's a sort of front page news thing, and the other's just more of a funny story that you find interesting. That's your three things. And one of the ones you brought was Cat Cafe Sydney. Yep. And it was fun, and even in the practice run that we did, I was like, oh, my God, we have to go to the Cat Cafe. You'll hear the results tomorrow. Just because I assume that's what people do on these types of shows. And it was like, oh, we'll lock that in for week one should you two be a show together. Cut to 12 months later. Still no Cat Cafe.
Yeah, but guys, don't go just in case.
Don't go. Act surprised.
And also don't get rid of your bike just in case you want to do something with it.
That
I'm sending
bike.
It to my sister. I'm sending it to my sister's stuff this show.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. You've had 12 months.
We had an idea, but we're not allowed to do the idea.
We keep having ideas of what we're going to do with my bike that Rove stole back from my neighbour.
Now, I think it's almost time to take a shot at this point.
Hang on, I'm going to put my mic back in. Watch the noise,
guys. I just literally had another conversation with someone about Friggy.
Oh, did you?
I don't
Friggy's
know.
Not coming back.
Hey, kind of attitude is that?
I work at
that's like saying this. That's like saying this catch-up will forever be 25 minutes long.
It probably will be.
10 minutes of which is us doing this, Sam.
Rove.
Have some faith in the system.
I don't faith in the system.
Okay. History says, look, at the moment, we need to get Friggy back out there because that door needs to be opened more regularly. Jamie, he's officially your little Friggy.
Yeah.
And he stinks. Well, doesn't he?
No, because Spurway
clean
put...
Clean it up, you feel...
Moldy pits. Spurway puts all her weird food in there and she leaves it in there and forgets about it.
Oh.
And weeks later, she's like, what's that smell? She said to me the other day...
She I'm sounds thinking, like your mum.
She is.
Now, Jamie, you brought a little Russell sound
guys,
of something.
So that segue I had before that you guys stopped me with.
Yep.
No, you don't do segues.
Speaking about healthy things, we have mango-flavoured Tim Tams.
Tim Tam, what are you doing?
Tim Tams.
What are you doing? I have to call? How many times?
Oh.
Don't smash it, Rove. Gee whiz.
What are you doing? Arnott's. This is what happens. Guys. When you sell a beloved Aussie company to some overseas international, I think American company.
Oh, is that what's happened?
This is what happens.
And new
shit like this. Mango flavoured Tim Tams. And do not get me started on shapes.
Yes, shapes.
And the new and improved flavour. They may be new, but there is nothing improved.
And look how retractable they came with their...
Quickly they want to get ad down. And let me tell you right now, we've recorded a complaints department with them. They didn't want it to go to air. Because you have to ask permission. And they said no. Do you think we're going to eat
a
whole
fruity?
One?
Not half each.
Pass them
but
back.
We'll just...
Okay.
I want one.
Jamie.
It's going to be, it's mango.
Oh, shit.
Good catch,
Jamie. Mango-flavoured Tim Tams.
I'm on a diet.
I'm
going to
go
chocolate.
On record. Arnott's, you don't control this show.
No.
If I don't like this, I will tell you.
Yep.
Here we go.
All right. Here we go.
Oh, that's a weird, I don't know what that is. No, I'm not going in. I can't go in a second time. You know what it tastes like?
What?
Pineapple chunks. If you're listening in Adelaide, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Big
shout out to Angus now. I'm Brecky, and he'll be doing his own catch up now.
Yeah.
On the network.
It reminds me of snack flavoured, the pineapple.
The one that no one likes in the snack block of chocolate. The pineapple one. You're right.
I don't eat chocolate.
She says, taking a second bite.
I'm testing it.
Sam,
you've got to have at least two bites.
This is old school. Another shot of us. It's been a while since we've been eating on the Chitty Chat.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, and the IVF guy was interesting.
Did I finish it?
Oh, yeah.
No, don't.
No, don't. I'm not Throw done. It. Throw it in the bin. Willpower.
That came back at me.
Jamie, willpower. Oh, I can't hear myself.
Jamie, don't eat it.
There I am.
No, it's all right. You're okay. You're taking hormones.
Chuck it in the bin. Have some willpower, you sicko.
Don't.
When your boobs turn into man boobs again.
Don't. You did a little flex. Who are you?
You need to get off the Chitty Chat now. I'm done with you.
I control your mic.
Oh, yeah? Then why don't you try cutting this off? Here's... Oh, he did.
Today FM's Rove and Sam.
Thanks for catching up on your favourite show on this podcast. Now, if you're a tragic Twitterer, you upload on Instagram or you stream all your favourite songs, you're going to love this deal from Ovo Mobile. Switch to an Ovo data sim now and you'll score an unbelievable 50 gigs for $59.95 on 4G. No contracts, no catches, and no more texts telling you about the additional $10 for 1 gig added to your already expensive phone plans. Can I get an amen? And as if that isn't brilliant enough, Ovo is going to give you the first month half price. So let's break this down. One whole month to enjoy 50 gigs on 4G for just $59.95 and the first month half price. 50 gigs of YouTube, social media, FaceTime, Tinder, whatever you want on the World Wide Web for half the price I know I was paying before I made the switch. ilovedata.com.au. You can open up the website right now while we get back to your favourite show.
Rove and Sam.
Australian actor Madeline West joins us this morning to talk about her role in the new Channel 10 series, The Wrong Girl. Madeline has stated that she's based her character in The Wrong Girl on other morning show hosts like Sonia Kruger and Lisa Wilkinson. Guessing that means Madeline's character may say something questionable while she fears about what her husband might be wearing under his bandana.
I don't know what that means.
That's a rousing introduction, Rove. I've never had an introduction quite like that. Thank you very much. You've made my morning.
That's what we do, Madeline West. Thank you very much for being here.
Yeah.
And congratulations for The Wrong Girl. What a whole bunch of fun this show is.
It's brilliant.
And hardly surprising coming from the mind of Zoe Foster-Blake. And
oh,
with such a tremendous cast as yours. What I also love about it is it's not taking the piss out of morning television, but it's using such a great platform as its home for the show.
Absolutely. And look, I think all great comedy comes from truth, comes from honesty. This is just how it is. And of course, people find it fascinating, amusing. But the characters are drawn from real life, and of course, they're slightly heightened. That's the essence of all great drama. But we get to tell some really hard-hitting storylines in a really lackadaisical, iconic Australian way. And that's what was so wonderful about the storyline we saw from Erica last night, where she came out on air and revealed that, yes, I am a proud lesbian and I'm in a same-sex relationship and I'm loving and I'm committed. That she, here is a woman who's not apologising for who she is and she's not bowing down to stereotypes. It's just, well, this is me. And what a sad indictment on Australia. There are still so many people who still feel marginalised, who still feel they have to lurk behind a stereotype, behind a cliche, in order to love who they love. And I think the only way to ameliorate that is for Australian law to recognise gay marriage.
Yes. Oh, you're preaching to the choir. I feel like that's honestly all we talk about on here. It's embarrassing and it's disgusting. So at least this show, it's moving forward in the right step, saying, look, it's on TV. Like, this is so normal.
It's about normalising it, because that's what so many prejudices are built on: fear and ignorance and misunderstanding. And that's because our media is not necessarily representing the grand sum of what same-sex relationships are about. Let it be recognised in the eyes of the law, and then it's normal.
And that's
suddenly there's nothing to fear.
That's what I really liked, the way your character, Erica, came out. It addressed it in a way that I think is really what it is, more than people realise. Well, like when the talk at the plebiscite was happening, it was that idea of we should ask everybody how they feel about this, when the reality is you are probably living with it more than you actually realise now.
Actually, no. And just that notion, can anyone out there really think it is a bad thing to usher more love into the world?
Yes.
What do you lose by letting someone say, I do, to the person they love and having that union recognised?
It
beggars belief that why is it such an issue? It's a non-issue. Let's just
Absolutely.
Do it.
And it makes no difference to you when you wake up in the morning if suddenly same-sex couples are allowed to marry. You know what it does? Changes zero. Even if you don't like it and it's not something that you feel comfortable with because of your belief system, which is fine, You can't say no to someone else having it. And it wouldn't affect you either way.
It wouldn't affect your life whatsoever.
No, exactly. We can't start prescribing how people should live their lives if we don't appreciate and walk in their shoes for just a moment. And that's what I really hope last night's episode of The Wrong Girl succeeded in doing.
Oh,
amen,
good
Madeline
for
West.
You.
Let's get that on a poster somewhere.
MadelineWestForPM.com.au.
The Wrong Girl, 8:30 Wednesday nights on Channel 10. So lovely to talk to you, and thank you for being part of the show, Madeline.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys.
Rove and Sam.
Thanks to Winston. Yeah, the one with a Y.
Scoopla. Hey, that was cool. Madonna. Oh, Madonna. She has...
Now, what is this little hook that you had before?
Mate, I'm. This isn't one of those, you know, tabloid splashy headlines.
Are you clickbaiting me?
No,
I'm not. Are you clickbaiting me?
I'm actually not. And I couldn't even say the actual words that Madonna says because, you know, it's... You know, radio. Oh, anyway.
You don't want to offend the tradies.
The tradies will love this.
They'd love this.
So Madonna, she's publicly offered to give men who vote for Hillary Clinton a BJ.
You can say that.
Yeah, bet she says the whole word. She opened up to Amy.
You can't say opened up.
Amy Schumer show in New York last night by talking about her sexual skills.
If you vote for Hillary Clinton, I will give you a blowjob, okay? I have a lot of eye contact, and I do swallow.
Okay, I'm glad you didn't say that.
Hey, I'm a lady champy.
Madonna can say it, though.
Exactly. She's Madonna, she can say
it. So what does she do for the women who want to vote?
Well, I think she'll just do whatever.
Okay.
She likes to have a good time.
So it seems. Eye contact, that's important.
Sometimes it's a bit paranoid.
I think it's creepy. Anyway,
Emma Stone.
It put me off. No, seriously, be honest. It would put you off.
Eye contact?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Especially when it's Madonna. You'd be like, oh, I'm trying not to think about what's happening here. I just wanted to do the right thing and not vote for Donald Trump. You put me in this situation, Madonna. All right? Oh, now it's gone. Forget it.
Oh, well, now there's just so much going on.
I'll try voting again in 15 minutes.
Emma Stone, she's nailed a Britney Spears impersonation. She was the latest celebrity to answer 73 questions for Vogue. And during the interview, she was asked to impersonate a celeb.
Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know?
Emma Stone is a badass. I love her.
That is the best Britney Spears I've heard since.
She's actually better than Britney.
Better than Carpool Karaoke Britney, for sure.
Eminem has just dropped a track that slams Donald Trump. He posted an image on his Instagram last night saying, "Don't worry, I'm working on an album. Here's something in the meantime. Link in bio." And when you click on the link, it directs you to an 8-minute YouTube freestyle campaign speech.
Run the faucet, I'ma dunk a bunch of Trump supporters underwater. Snuck up on them in Ray-Bans and a gray van with a spray tan. It's a wrap like an ace bandage. Don't give a persona. You say Trump don't kiss ass like a puppet, because he runs his campaign with his own cash for the funding. And that's what you wanted, a loose cannon who's blunt with his hand on a button who doesn't have to answer to no one.
Well, someone wants a Madonna BJ.
You know what we should have got? We should have got Kane from my season of The Bachelorette rapping because it's almost the same.
Oh, yeah. That's
like, because it doesn't quite rhyme. And it's not really in tune. I'm enjoying today's Scoopla. Sarah Jessica Parker has told Howard Stern how she was fired from 2 animated feature films. Oh. She was on to promote her HBO show, The Divorce, when mm-hmm. she was asked if she's ever been fired before.
I was fired from Ants. Apparently, I was a bad ant. Yeah, and I was fired from At Close Range, that other animated movie.
Is that right?
I can't remember which movie fired me first. First time they were like, you were going in a different direction, which I'd always heard like as a joke.
Ants.
The end.
Big story. Jeez. Hey, remember that animated movie that wasn't as good as the Bugs Life one that Pixar made?
I am Sarah a beautiful butterfly.
Yeah, that's the good one.
Yep.
So that was maybe Sharon Stone, because Sharon Stone was in that one with Woody Allen and Sylvester Stallone. Stella cast. So.
I think you're about to sneeze.
I think you should count yourself lucky, SJP.
Well, that's all of my Scoopla Entertainment news. You can find out more at todayfm.com.au.
Rove and Sam.
I have a quest for questions.
Questions with...
Interesting people with interesting stories to tell. You want to talk interesting people?
Oh, I'm obsessed with this already.
Alien expert.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Mary Rodwell, or is it Mary Roswell?
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
No. Oh, my God. So you're telepathic as well?
Of course.
Well, Mary, thank you very much for joining us.
You're most welcome, and it's a pleasure to be here.
How do you become an expert in aliens?
Well, it wasn't something that I expected to as an ex-nurse midwife.
Oh.
But it happened because a gentleman walked in the door and he said, I've heard you're open-minded. For this, there's no support groups. For this, they just think you're a loony. And this gentleman told me about him and his family having experiences, waking up with marks on the body, shaved areas. Nobody had come to the house because they thought it was demons. And could I help? And that started me off down this rabbit hole and I've kept going.
Wow. Have you seen an alien? Have you been abducted? Have you been probed?
Oh, well, I'm glad I might not have been probed by aliens, but I certainly have on this planet. But seriously, I've seen unusual lights and stuff like
that. So you've seen a UFO?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen not only physically, but I've also actually seen hundreds of hours of footage. And I've actually talked to the whistleblowers. I've actually talked to those in the know that have seen some of these craft in military bases, right through to seeing aliens themselves. But a lot of the aliens are walking amongst us, you know. They're humanoids.
Yeah, what people
Mary,
say that.
Don't you come in here now.
Why? Well, you might be one, Rove.
How do you know? How do you tell if someone's an alien or not?
Wait a minute.
Look.
Well, you might be.
Am
you
I?
Know, you might be.
Look, I like a good probing from time
well,
to time.
There you go.
Don't we all?
So, no, seriously, there are humanoids that are walking amongst us you would never know. Some people know that they've met them and they felt they were just different in some way. Mm. But yes, they look just like us.
Mary.
Yeah.
I've seen movies like Independence Day. I don't want to get all Trump and Pauline Hanson on this thing. But should we be scared about these guys?
I don't believe
so. Are they coming for us?
Well, listen, if they were coming for us, they've had millennia to do it. So I don't believe that's the case. But there are agendas. We are, I believe, Homo sapiens sapiens is a created species. I believe that we're all hybrids.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you sound very much like someone off Doctor Who. You're talking about hybrids. You're talking about aliens living amongst us. That was an episode in this current season. Mary, I think I'm falling in love.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. It's like you're talking dirty to me. I love it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, what do you think about Area 51? What's actually happening there?
I've actually been to the perimeter of Area 51.
Now, you can get shot on sight.
Yeah, no, it's scary.
Jinx!
It's so scary. I was there about 11:30 one night with a group of researchers. And this searchlight literally focused on us the whole time we were there. And you've got, you know, extreme force will be used. It was absolutely intimidating and really scary. But yes, Area 51 is alleged to have reverse engineered craft, actual craft, and perhaps aliens or ETs of various kinds that they've recovered, which is in Independence Day Resurgence, you know, that they've got the aliens underground in military bases. I actually think that's the case.
Well, like you say, Independence Day Resurgence, if people haven't seen that, it's available now on Blu-ray, DVD, and 4K Ultra HD. We thank you very much for your time, Mary Rodwell, alien expert. Look, I hope if they are here, they are nice, they stay hidden.
Hey, I'm a believer, so they should be kind to me.
Yeah. She's a powerful woman. 13 10 60. If you are an alien, get in touch. We would love to hear from you.
People will actually call you. Know.
Good, Mary. Thank you very much for your time. Lovely to talk to you.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Rove and Sam.
Thanks to Winston with thewire.com.au. Book now for blinds, shutters, awnings, and crim safe installed before Christmas. Well, it's all right for you to laugh.
Yeah. Of course it's okay for me to laugh. I'm a very joyful person.
Look, it's nice to have something clean coming out of your mouth for a change.
Okay, talkity-talk-talk.
Well, at least my talkity-talk-talk can be listened to without young children having to have their ears covered for personal reasons.
You guys are carrying on.
You lately have been off the chain when it comes to just having the worst potty mouth. Now, I think people are probably aware, if they see a lot of our online stuff, that you do like to, you know,
look,
grub it up a bit. God, if you listen to our pre-podcast chitty chat, then you should, my God, be very aware of how much. It's almost like listening to Morse code.
Oh.
If you download our podcast and listen to the little extra content we put on, she swears a lot.
Hey, guys, people say that swearing is a sign of high intelligence.
Well, those guys are dickheads.
And also, Hammo.
Hammo!
Hammo said, don't stop swearing because it's hilarious.
Okay.
So Hammo's a stand-up comedian. He thinks it's hilarious. Of course, I'm not going to stop.
Well, the thing is, it's become a problem now, Sam, because you've been doing it behind the scenes. That's all well and good. We're all friends here.
Oh, just quick FYI. I accidentally swore in front of Sasha's mum.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
It slipped out. It's because of you idiots in this building.
Now, how does it just slip out in front of your potential mother-in-law?
Oh, look, you know, I was just saying...
What?
Actually, it was
what?
Really inappropriate. It was really inappropriate. And I went, oh, sorry for swearing, Miss Goosey. Oh, my goodness. Guys, okay. Sure, sometimes it comes out at the wrong point
in
time.
Wait. What do you mean, sometimes? Wow. Sam has a language issue, Guy.
Look, I'm working on it,
I think she needs to go through etiquette classes.
I'm a lovely person. No, I just accidentally swear sometimes.
Don't censor yourself. That's why people love you.
He genuinely thinks that he's in a strong alliance.
Mate, he thinks he's killing it.
Bill, are you shocked at Sam's potty mouth off air? I mean, she's apologised for her language about 6 or 7 times.
Guys, it's
no, she's
Friday.
A professional. No.
Friday, there's lots of...
What happens off air stays off air.
If the walls could talk, though. Seriously.
How do you stop?
That was okay. So shocking that you swore on air, Jamie the button pusher had to squeal like a little girl.
I think the real problem's you squealing like a girl.
So here's the thing. So what was it you actually said in front of your potential mother-in-law?
I said I think about it every effing day of my life.
Okay. About how you should clean up your act? Was that the irony of it? I swear a lot, I should really, you know, I think about it every effing day of my life.
Guys, okay.
Here's what's going to happen, right?
I'm seeing my grandparents on the weekend too. I don't want to swear in front of them. Well, they love me and they think I'm perfect.
That's why.
They do, which clearly I am.
So here's what's going to happen. To even prepare yourself for that, Sam, I have decided we need to put you through etiquette classes to teach you how to be a little bit more of a lady. I think you have slipped up one too many times.
A lady? I'm very feminine and ladylike. Thank you.
No. It's not like this place to try to change you, Sam, but I feel we need to just make you a little bit better at controlling your swearing on the mic. So we have a professional etiquette expert who's going to come in today. You two can have a little session where she can teach you to balance a book on your head, how to be a proper lady.
When do you ever need to balance a book on your head?
All the time, Sam. Okay, maybe you do it with an iPad nowadays or an e-book. I'm not sure how it works.
Oh, is it Sam's stitch-up week this week? That's how I feel today.
So do you think that you are prepared to be able to make the change, Sam, to make yourself a better person?
I certainly don't want to swear in front of my in-laws or my grandparents. I don't care about you guys here, but... Let's make that very clear.
Well, let it be for those you love as the motivation, Sam, to try to make yourself a better person, okay? Etiquette lessons today. We will hear the results tomorrow. Rove and Sam, today, FM. Don't ask what the F stands for.
Rove and Sam. Earlier on today, we spoke to the very lovely Madeline West. She is from The Wrong Girl. Mm-hmm. Her character last night on the show. For those of you who haven't seen it, she's a TV anchor. So think of your Lisa Wilkinson on the Today Show. So she's a TV anchor, and in one of the segments, she decided, you know what, now's the time to out myself.
I don't generally talk about my private life, but I am a proud lesbian woman. I am in a loving, long-term relationship. And I think that is the perspective that I brought to the segment earlier.
Brilliant.
So 131060, we'd like to hear if you have a coming out story. I'm sure many people do.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be very interested to know just how, I don't know, is it easier nowadays? I know we've had plenty of people on the show that we've asked this question of. And the idea that they can just be more accepting of it, although we have had someone on that we spoke to who his parents sent him to one of those We'll Pray the Gay Out of You seminars.
A gay conversion camp.
A gay conversion camp.
Which was just outrageous.
My friend was visiting his parents and just basically with his friends. So he had his girlfriend and then just another male friend. They were just sort of, you know, travelling in their little posse. And stayed at his parents' place for a couple of days while they were on the road. And he stayed up late to chat to, it was just him and his mum who were left as everyone else had gone to bed. And then he said, well, I'm going to go, that's me done, I'm going to head to bed. And it was his mum who said to him, and whose bedroom do you think you might be going to? And he said, oh, well, to my girlfriend's. And she said, do you think you might be going to the wrong one? And that was his basically going, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. So it was almost...
Oh, thanks. It's a mother's intuition.
And just her allowing him to feel comfortable in acknowledging who he really was. It's a, I really like that story.
I like it.
It's
too.
A nice way of doing it.
One of my best guy friends, he used to live in Queensland. He told his parents at 21, like quite late, and he's just like, hey, BT Dubs, I'm gay. See yous! And moved to Sydney because he's just couldn't be bothered dealing with it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and now he's just fabulous and fantastic, and I just love him. I just want to be in and around him. He's fantastic. Are you joking?
Look, some are easy, some are possibly hard, but yep. Either way, we'd love to hear about it.
Rogan Sam.
Chris in Surrey Hills, is it your story?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Very well, thank you. What happened?
So the whole process kind of came out to my best mate, and he said, well, you know, we've got to tell the other best mate. And I said, sure, no worries. So, you know, we drove up to a little spot and got out of the car. And anyways, I was like, I got to tell you something. And he's looking at me like, oh, God, like, sure. I said, I'm gay. And he goes, oh, well, that's fine. I thought you were going to say you were dating my sister.
Silver lining, everyone.
Now I know she's safe.
That's exactly right.
So was that almost the tougher way to go about it, Chris? Like, when we think coming out, you think telling the family, telling your parents. But is friends kind of one of the other elements that maybe some of us in the heterosexual community don't think about so much?
Yeah, well, friends to me have always been sort of a lot closer to me sort of thing. So telling them is a lot harder, I think. And having their support when I kind of spoke to the rest of the family really helped.
So it was your friends first, you told them first?
Yeah, definitely. My, like, best mates first and then from there on sort of thing. Yeah.
Nice one. All right.
See, that's really cool. A lot of my mates, I've got quite a few gay friends actually, but a lot of the time they have told me stories of them holding it in for such a long period of time, and it's been years and years that they've known this, and then when they finally let it out, everyone's like, yeah, sweet. And they're like, oh, I've been stressed for a really long time for no reason.
I would think that, like, that's probably one of the reasons Chris would go to his mates. If you're out with your mates, they see you socialising, they probably see you more than your parents do in that environment, and they would be the least surprised in many respects. So
exactly.
It probably is a nice way to get into it.
Alyssa in Seaforth, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good, Alyssa.
Now, what's your story?
So my story is not about myself. It's actually about my dad.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah,
probably about 10 years ago, I was 16 years old, and I grew up in Utah in the States, very, very Mormon family.
Indeed.
And my dad was just having a lot of issues with my mom. They were fighting all the time, and I guess he just broke down to her one day and said, I'm gay.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, but sorry, guys, it makes me still emotional today, but... Look, obviously, the church completely shunned us.
Sure.
It was really hard for my family, but when all is said and done, like, it made my family so much stronger. There's no secrets between us. We trust each other so much, and it's just, like, couldn't picture a better family.
What an incredibly brave thing to do, and I think sometimes we take for granted, and I realize this is a very flippant thing to say, but putting things into context, how much easier it is nowadays, and that's not to say it always is, but easier
exactly right.
than, say, for your dad's generation, let alone the fact that he's from the Mormon church, how difficult it must be. Listen, this is probably a random question, but there's a musical called Fun Home. Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't.
It's a story written by a lesbian girl whose father, similar to yours, was gay and still, you know, living in a happily, seemingly heterosexual relationship, had kids and the whole time was living in this closet that he couldn't come out of. Yeah. It's an incredible show. So it obviously brought your family together in a way you couldn't have imagined.
It did. Exactly right. And I think that my mom probably took it the best because I feel like she kind of knew something was off. I mean, they were married for 28 years, so I feel like she thought something was off, and then when he said, hey, I'm gay, it just kind of clicked for her, and everything was great. He actually, when he was 19, getting ready to go on his mission, he told his mission president, hey, I think I'm gay, and the mission president told him, no, it's just a phase, it'll pass, like, get married, have kids, do what the Lord's asked of you, and so my poor dad was just, like, living this life that he thought he had to live. And then finally, like you said, he was just brave enough to come out and tell us, and we couldn't love him more than ever.
Oh, good for you, Alyssa. That I couldn't even imagine what that would feel like to have to carry that for every single day of your life, knowing that. And that's incredible. And it's, you know, it's a true character of your family, I guess, to show what genuine, incredible people you are, to just go, Dad, we love you, and your happiness is worth more than anything else in this world. So and good for you.
Yeah, exactly thanks, Alyssa, too, because exactly it's great to hear that he's released that burden from himself, and it's had a happy outcome and brought you guys closer together. Great story. Thank you, Alyssa.
Thanks, guys.
Rove and Sam.
Now, guys, for the men that are listening, I'm about to drop the T word. You don't have to switch off. It's a hilarious story.
Do I know what the T word is?
Tampon.
Oh.
Guys just get a weirdo about it. But seriously, you guys don't want to miss this story. So basically, guys, everyone gather around.
Okay, we're back.
There's this 19-year-old man. Yeah, man is a bit, you know.
In inverted commas.
Kid. He's what? A kid. This punk-ass kid. This is hilarious. So he tweeted, saying, his name's Ryan, big shout out. Tampons should not be free. Why does everyone keep saying they should be? If you can't control your bladder, then that's not taxpayer problems.
Hang on. Bladder?
Yeah, so you think at this stage, you're like, okay, bladder. But you think maybe he's just mixed a few things up. That's okay.
He doesn't know how things work. Is that what the deal
is? But you kind of think that's okay. That's no drama.
Easy mistake to make.
Easy mistake, sure. Well, sort of, but sure, right. Okay? But then he goes, pay for your own tampons if you can't hold it until you get to a toilet. I don't urinate everywhere and expect free nappies. #Hashtag self-control.
Oh,
and then you're going, hang on a second. Hold it until you go to the toilet. Do you think tampons are for urinating? Is that what you think they're for?
Never mind that. What do you think a period is? What do you think the menstrual cycle is?
I don't think he even knows.
There are very mindful children in cars at the moment, but I would say they probably understand this better than
he does. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You learn this in primary school. You learn about the natural cycle.
Well, look, the good news is, Sam, he said this on Twitter, right?
He said it on Twitter.
I'm sure there were no ramifications from people on Twitter. I'm sure he got away with this scot-free, right?
Holler back.
You're an idiot. I love you.
He just said... He continued and got, someone just told me that they spend $3,200 on tampons in 20 years. Right. Just hold your bladder and donate it to charity. Oh, my God. What a waste of money.
I apologize for my sex.
What an idiot.
I don't know. We have no comment to make.
Donate it to charity?
We're cutting him loose. From the bloke tree.
Oh, my God.
So let me think about it, right? There are so many other mistakes you could make, but he's leapt right to the end. He could be, I don't know what tampons are actually used for.
Sure.
He could even say, I think you can hold in your actual menstrual cycle. Like you have some sort of control of it, like a bladder.
Yep.
But to actually go, I think it all comes out the same. It is all one and the same. I want to shrivel in. I don't even know who this guy is, and my teeth hurt from embarrassment.
And then he just...
I'm just going to curl up. If you need me...
Keeps going.
If you need
going.
Me, I'm going to curl up in a ball in embarrassment under the desk for my sex.
There's probably
back
some...
To you, Sam.
I can guarantee you there's guys out there that are going, hang on, what? Wait, what are they actually for? That's what I think is actually going to happen. But we were chatting about it in the office this morning, and us ladies were having a good old lull.
We're
just like, what an idiot. Because I bulk buy tampons because I don't want to run out. Anyway, that's a Castro disaster. But anyway.
So he doesn't know what they're used for, obviously.
No, he's got no idea. But I used to think, before obviously I was a leader, I thought that they were earplugs. So I'd steal my mum's out of her handbag and pop them in my ear and be like, la 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 la, with the tampons in my ears. What an idiot. No one corrected me. I was just like, this kid. Lucky I didn't have Twitter at the time. But anyway, the ladies
so
out
that,
here.
Do they have multiple uses? I'm pretty sure I've seen... Like professional fighters use them to, they stick them up their nose when they have a nosebleed. Like actually, you know, legitimately they put wadding up there to help it stop.
Well, their use is to absorb blood, but spoilers, guys, that's what it's for.
Oh, God, someone tell this kid on Twitter.
Amy from social media, she said she used it to clean her flute. An actual, okay. Her actual right. flute.
This one time flute. At band camp.
No.
I get it.
Wait, your actual flute? Oh, it's not your actual flute. Sorry, my bad. this went horribly wrong. But I want to know, ladies out there, even guys, what did you think that tampons were actually used for? I think we'll get some pretty hilarious stories. All 13, 10, 60.
Roven Sam.
There's this guy, he went on a rant on Twitter. Basically, he thinks that tampons are used for your bladder. And he says, you know, he doesn't understand why tampons, you know, people are saying tampons should be free. If you can't hold on to your bladder, that's your problem.
Not what they're used for.
Exactly.
They're used for something that I had a female member of our staff, old Mouldy Pit Spurway, was going, oh my God, I can't believe you said menstrual cycle.
Oh. And then
stop saying, no, I won't stop saying it. And then that's what it is.
And Alex said, oh, just don't say period. Remember you just said that?
She's
telling us to move on.
What is funny is that one of the suggestions we had was Amy, who works on our social media staff, she was saying that she used it to clean out her flute.
Yeah, her actual flute.
She got a text message from her brother going, I used that flute!
Ew!
At least it was clean. Calm down.
Do you know what, actually? Just very, very quickly. My previous boyfriends didn't know what a tampon actually did. Oh, so I put it in water and it puffed out. And he was like, his brain blew. And he goes, then how are you supposed to get it back out?
Seriously, I saw one in a puddle as a boy, and I like saw it in full flight, and it shocked me to my very core.
Oh man, you're hilarious.
Yep.
Mary in Maryland's. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what did you think tampons were used for?
Okay, so they weren't tampons, but this was back in the '80s. Sanitary pads were as thick as surfboards, and I thought they were shoulder pads.
Fair enough.
So I used to, you know, pack them into my clothes and thought I had the coolest shoulder pads, like, you know, when I was 8 years old.
That's cool, Mary. I can appreciate that. Christian Embargo, good morning. Christian.
Hello,
hey. Sorry, no, don't apologise. That is no problems whatsoever. What else have you used your tampons for? Or what did you think they were for?
Well, when I was younger and, you know, Mum showed me that they puffed up in water, so I remember I couldn't find a sponge and she told me to go clean the kitchen and the benches, so I actually popped one in water and used it as a sponge.
Clever boy.
That's actually genius.
Very frugal.
That's genius.
It's great.
It's for a 13-year-old. I thought I just deserved the Nobel Peace Prize.
Okay, we jumped ahead there, Christian, but sure, why not?
Brilliant. Dawn in Castle Hill, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. What did you think they were used for?
Well, my husband told my little daughter that they were used as Christmas decorations for the tree. He didn't know how else to explain it to her, so we ended up hanging some on our tree last year.
What did you say when visitors came over?
Yeah, it was pretty awkward.
Look, there's a lot of, it turns out there's a lot of uses for them, so no wonder they're a luxury item for you, because they should be.
Yeah.
If you're getting this many uses out of them, ladies.
Multi-use, I love it.
Well, I don't know if that opens any minds as to maybe for this young gentleman what they could be from now on.
Look, hopefully he's listening, to be honest. Maybe he can get a few hints.
Roven Sam.
Sam, this tragic story of the family. People are talking murder-suicide at the moment. The gassing, it was such a tragic, tragic tale. And still a lot of people with a lot of questions going unanswered as the investigation goes on. But one thing we do know, of course, is that the family had two autistic children.
Yep.
And it has led to a lot of speculation as to that being a possibility here as people start looking for answers. It makes us wonder, you know, what that situation could be like. And could it put so much stress on you that this is an outcome that could happen.
Yep.
And so we've got someone to help us get some insight into that. Her name is Fiona Brown. She is a mother herself of two autistic children, 8-year-old daughter Emma, 4-year-old son Sebi, and she joins us now. Good morning, Fiona.
Hi, Fiona.
Hi. G'day, how you going?
Very, very good, very good. Thank you very much for joining us. Now,
that's okay.
I know this is a very broad question, but to give us some sort of insight, how difficult is it to have two children in particular with autism?
The hardest thing in the world, because it's something that comes out of nowhere, realistically. I didn't know when I was pregnant with my children that that's what would happen. And I'm not trained in having autistic children. So I've had to learn on the fly as I'm raising my children what to do in a meltdown, you know, how to make sure that they have the best outcome possible when they are adults. so that they can be a functioning member of society.
So when
no
you
one
say,
prepares you for that.
When you say meltdown, like how extreme does it get to give some people some sort of idea?
It varies child to child because autism is such a spectrum. But for my children, my daughter at her worst can go for three and a half hours, screaming, crying, head banging, things like that. My son in a meltdown, he can kick, scratch, bite, punch you. I've been left with bruises, bleeding from the bites, you know, and he doesn't mean to hurt me. He doesn't. It's just he's overloaded by the situation, you know, and he doesn't have the communication skills to explain what's going on, you know, and that's the sad thing. To the outside world, they just look like a brat, and they're not. They're just not coping.
Yeah, and I think one of the main reasons for the meltdowns is because they're struggling to communicate and they can't really quite understand, which I can only imagine it's just incredibly difficult. But obviously the Davidson story about the family in the potential murder-suicide, how did you react when you heard that story?
I cried because I could see where it came from. There's a real lack of support in the community for families like ours. I mean, and our children are high-functioning autistic children. From what's being said in the media, those children were not. Those children were non-verbal. So I can only imagine how hard that would be. You know, and their children were 10 and 11, so they've been dealing with that for 11 years. They're in a different country. They're away from family. You know, there's just such a lack of support out there when you're in crisis. You're met with waiting lists.
So, Fiona, how is it for you when you get to a breaking point? Because everybody would. This is a day-to-day thing. As you say, it can last hours. It's not like having a sick child and caring for them where there is a hope that they can be better at the end of it. When you hit your breaking point, what do you do? Who do you turn to?
I fall back on my family. I am very fortunate to have an amazing husband and an amazing mum and my siblings. You know, I ring them and I know at the drop of the hat one of them will come. Not everybody has that, and that's the sad thing. The government's relying that our family will help us. Not everybody has that support structure. What if they're a single mum with special needs kids? What are they supposed to do? Or a single dad? Who do they turn to? You know, and that's reality. You know, you're sitting in your house in the middle of the night, your child won't sleep, you've had them screaming and crying all day long. What do you do? Who do you call? Who's going to come out and help you in the middle of the night when you're not coping? You know, and that's how these things occur. For me, I can say to my husband, please, come on, you know, do something with the kids. And he will. He will step up every single time. My family will step up every single time. Not everybody has that.
Yeah.
And that's when we need a crisis care line that will give real practical support, not just someone to talk to, you know.
No, but it's a good point you raised there, Fiona. And we do thank you for your call today. We're glad that for what you can, you are dealing with the situation, that you do have help yourself. And we wish you all the best for you and your kids.
Thank you very much
for joining us.
Thank you so much, Fiona.
And of course, lifeline.org.au, 13 11 14. There are people out there for whatever your situation might be. And we do thank Fiona for her call.
Roven Sam. We caught up with Australian actor Teresa Palmer to talk about her role in the new Mel Gibson movie, Hacksaw Ridge. Teresa shared a heartwarming moment on social media with her son helping to apply makeup before the premiere of her new movie. You know, my daughter once helped me with my makeup and it was delightful. Yeah, sure, I ended up looking like a hideous clown and was shunned by society, but it's the thought that counts.
Teresa Palmer, what are the chances of you having a baby right now?
Pretty high, I'm not going to lie.
Like, you're so ready to go, right?
I could have the baby right here.
You look incredible.
Thanks. I was just saying that.
Ticking time bomb stage, right?
And
it is. Here you are doing press for a movie all over the world.
On a plane.
Now, you said boy. You know it's a boy.
It's
you told people it's a boy. They've even told people the name.
Yeah. I mean, sort of. Yeah, my husband did one of those things where he was like, surprise, I put a picture online of the name. And I was like, Mark, that's not a good surprise. He was like, I thought you would love it. And so I made him delete it. And then sure enough, like, the name's
right out. You can't delete it after the fact.
I know.
Fact.
I was like, delete. No one will know. And then everyone's like, oh, that's what your name means.
Oh,
Oh, that's the worst. I wonder why you meet him, though. What if we change our name? Like, what if we see him
he could come out and look like a dog.
He could look like a dog.
Sure.
Or a rove. He could look like a rove.
I hope he doesn't look like a rove.
Yeah, that would be weird. That would be weird.
I have a lot of answering to do. Like, how far along were you while shooting this as well? Because it's actually an incredible story, but I assume that you were probably on your way.
Actually not. I was trying to get pregnant on this movie.
So maybe it was this.
Yes.
Hence being the love interest.
Yes, there we go.
Andrew Garfield has a lot to answer for.
I know.
And being married to a director, did that prepare you for Mel Gibson?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, they're so different. Like, Mel is the most jovial. I don't know if you've interviewed him yet. He is the funniest guy. Like, he was such an Australian too. Like, he would wear one of those little, those tank tops. Loose little muscle shirts, straggly hair, come on. He's just so great. And here's the other thing about him. I have worked with a lot of actors who will go and do their thing, and then at lunchtime, they typically go into their trailer, they have assistants get them lunch and whatever. Mel would sit and eat with the whole cast, the whole crew, knew everyone's name. We had a crew of 200 plus. We'd constantly be engaging with people and just the most regular guy you can imagine. And that to me was refreshing.
Yeah,
I was
that's
like,
really
that
cool.
Speaks to his spirit. That's really cool.
Now, I love movies like this because it tells you about a story that you never even knew. I didn't even know that you could go to war and say, I'm not going to kill anybody, I'm not even going to pick up a gun.
Yeah, it's be a conscious objector. Yeah. It's pretty amazing because truly he's a man who stands by his convictions. He has these ideas, these beliefs. Like, what beautiful bravery that is. He was such a humble human being. He didn't want the attention. And now it's the perfect time for this story to come to life. So yeah. It's great.
And obviously it's based on a true story. How much research did you do? Did you just go into an internet hole or is it supplied for you?
Well, I had just wrapped a film and I had a 2-day turnaround before jumping on this one. So I felt like in over my head. Luckily, Andrew had all these old photos of the two of them together. What I loved so much about them is that they're so funny. This photo that I had of the two of them, Desmond is dressed up in her dress and she's dressed up in his outfits and they're completely goofing around like a totally modern couple.
Which is weird. We don't do that at home.
Yeah, we do. All the time.
Okay, but so how much of the rare bird fascination was just added by you and how much was that actually her?
I don't know anything about birds, not going to lie.
Because that, more than anything, was my big takeaway. What's your favourite rare bird?
The kookaburra. Perfect.
Teresa Palmer, you've learnt nothing.
I've learnt nothing. I have pet kookaburras.
Have you bought your dad's sanctuary?
Yeah, that's where I'm giving birth to this child.
Well, Forrest, or whoever you may end up being.
Whatever his name will be.
We look forward to welcoming you to the world, and thank you very much for chatting to us.
Thanks, thanks so much, guys.
Hacksaw Ridge is out November 3rd.
Roven Sam.
Bachelorette was on last night. Geez, haven't we all been falling in love with this show? Sam, I know that you are an experienced Bachelorette veteran.
Yes, you would say that.
But please stop talking.
Oh.
Because there was a lot of buzz around the office this morning and I don't think there was a single vagina involved. It was a lot of testosterone.
Yes.
And because the two people, we have a predominantly female staff here.
We
predominantly.
Do.
Predominantly. But the surprising thing is the two people that needed to talk about it the most were me and one of our producers, comedian Justin Hamilton.
Hammo!
Oh, I am a convert. I am loving everything about this and I was struggling. To be honest, Sam, I was struggling to begin with because I felt like the guys weren't getting stuck into each other enough. I felt like maybe Georgia wasn't really connecting with them. Mm. And then something happened last week where I suddenly realised what was happening and it's a bromance.
Yes.
The guys are loving each other, and you know what's getting in the way? Georgia! She's getting in the way.
Hamo brought this theory up to me last week. We obviously watched the show for this show, and when you pointed that out to me, my appreciation for The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And then when you listen to the boys as they talk, you realise as each is voting out, getting voted out, it's not Georgia's heart who's being broken. It's theirs.
Having five guys in the house is a little bit sad because all your friends are leaving one by one. It's so weird right now not having Clancy around. So quiet in the house.
ridiculously quiet.
As these numbers dwindle, you notice every guy that goes far more.
Morning, gentlemen.
Usher.
There's only five of you left.
It's a strange feeling.
Sitting in the kitchen waiting for Sam's big arrival. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing him come bouncing through the doors with a big grin on his face.
Hang on.
Oh, no.
He's gone.
I'm hoping it's a joke. I'm hoping that Sam's going to come bounce to the door, you know, saying, I've got you your pretzels, or, you know, something stupid like he always does.
Honestly, the four guys inside are the best guys I've met in my entire life. And I know you're going to find the right guy.
That was Cam last night whispering to Georgia as he was voted out. Those are the best guys I've ever met in my life.
So he's not upset. Oh, yeah. Georgia, you were so lovely. He's like, yeah, those guys, man. Like,
yeah.
Is it really going to kill me? I hope we can all catch up.
We're going to miss each other, you know. And they made a song last night, Sam, and this was the highlight of my life. They made a song and they recorded it and then they all listened to it together. And I swear to God, the guys all got together, put their arms around each other, jumped up and down going, yay! And if you look to the left, there's Georgia just kind of clapping by herself going, oh, you guys seem to be having fun without me. I swear to God, Georgia. they don't quite know her name. You can see it. You can see it. Oh, yeah, I'm really going to miss Lisa. Her name's Georgia. I am so sorry. Like, how would you have felt, Sam, in your run around if you thought the guys were just getting a little bit too close with the bromance?
Well, you know what? They had a bit of a bromance on my season, but let me tell you, they were very excited to see old Esfro here. I mean, like, he can blame it. Am I right?
They had a wrestling match a couple of weeks ago where it was the chance to get someone physically taken out of the game. They pop someone's shoulder out, and it's all like, oh, stop, guys, this is getting out of control. Reese got hurt. Reese got hurt.
By the way, they were fine being covered in oil and looking like it was directed by Baz Luhrmann, but as soon as someone got hurt, Georgia, that went too far.
So, look, I don't know. Georgia. I know there's been spoilers in one of the women's magazines, but look, I don't know who it is that is voted as the winner and winning Georgia's heart. But to whoever the runner-up is, I say all the best for Gay Bachelor 2018.
Yeah.
Rove and Sam. Today FM.
Great catch-up today, Rove.
I had a ball too. I think I'm feeling good because of all the rest I'm getting at home.
I'm guessing you've got your new blinds.
That sounds a little personal. But yes, you're right. Our friends at Winston with a Y came down and sorted us out, not only with new blinds, but also shutters, awnings and crimsafe products.
That's the sort of service you receive when you're dealing with the family-owned business that has over 48 years' experience.
And as I discovered, if you contact them now, you can have it all sorted by Christmas.
So go to winstonwithay.com.au.
That's Winston with a Y.
Why?
Well, because that's how they spell their name.
No, I know. I was just reminding people why.
Why is it spelt with a Y or just Y?
Why?
Why am I asking you about the why and why are you talking about the why?
You've really had too much sleep, haven't you?